In the name of Jesus, amen. Gospel lesson is the basis for our sermon on this Lord's Day, and I'm indebted to my colleague, David Peterson, for some of his thoughts on this gospel reading. Why do people brag? Why do people brag? I think the simple answer to that is they want attention. They want to be noticed. The things I've bought, I want to show off, the things I've done, I want people to see. People brag because they want to be noticed. And if I don't talk about myself, who will? But even further, if you push that, I think the person that brags, really what they want is to be loved. They want to be noticed, they want to be loved. The negative version of bragging, I don't know, bragging is not positive, but a negative part that is kind of like bragging is complaining. People complain because they want to be noticed. They want other people to see how much they've suffered or how they don't like the food or they don't like the weather, and so they complain. They want to be noticed. They want other people to see their hardships and difficulties. They want attention, and so they complain. So both those who brag and those who complain want attention. They want to be loved. They are afraid. They're afraid they won't be noticed. In the parable Jesus tells, the Pharisee, the religious man, he wants to be noticed. He wants attention. And so he prays about himself. He's disciplined himself. He's given up things. He's worked really hard at being a good person. He doesn't do the bad things that bad people do. He has sacrificed. He has done without. He's even fasted. Twice a week, he says he fasts. And he gives 10% of his money to the church. He tithes. Hundreds, maybe even thousands of churches would love to have a church member like him. And all he wants is for God to say, good job. That's what he wants. But God is not impressed. God is not impressed. Other people would be impressed. Churches would be impressed. But God is not impressed. God is never impressed with the works of people. I'll say that again. God is never impressed with the works of people. It really doesn't matter how good you've been or how hard you've tried. It's not enough. It's never enough. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who need no repentance. God said what he desires, what pleases him, is when his people have a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Our efforts at trying to be good do not impress God. And our hardships don't impress God either. Sometimes we think, well, God must be impressed because I have life so difficult. Everyone's life is hard. Everyone hurts. Everyone suffers. Everyone, in some way, shape, or form, has a broken heart. Some people will deny that. Some people don't want to admit that. Some people say, well, you know, I don't want to show that weakness. Or they would say, it's none of your business. But nobody sails through life unscarred. Everybody has regrets and doubts and sorrow. Nothing has befallen you that is not common to man. So, yeah, don't think that you're better than others or smarter or have done more good than others. And also don't think that you've somehow suffered more than others. And then don't say to yourself, well, at least I'm glad I'm not like that self-righteous Pharisee. Because the moment you think that way, what have you become? You've become the self-righteous Pharisee. Pride is the way of death. So what would God have you do? Well, what's the tax collector do? He is so ashamed. He is so ashamed of his sin, he won't even lift his eyes up to heaven when he prays. He says, God has mercy, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. No attempt at self-justification, no blaming others, simply he takes ownership of his sin. Lord, have mercy. That is so rare. That is so rare. Even when we say it's my fault, we kind of try to slide the blame on somebody else. Yeah, I know I shouldn't have done that, but, you know, this man doesn't do that. He takes ownership of his sin. He asks for mercy. And that's what God would have you do. Yes, that's what God would have you do. He would have you know the weight of your sin. You have had pride. You have had jealousy. You have been angry at God. God would have you repent. God would have you repent that he could have mercy upon you. You don't deserve it. No one does. But your sins are not worse than the tax collector's, and he went home forgiven by the grace of God in Christ. And so also do you, because God is merciful. God is not impressed by your goodness, and he's not impressed by your hardships, but he is deeply in love with you. More than you realize. More than you realize. Your works are nothing to brag about, but they are valuable in the kingdom of God, and they need to be done. Your works don't earn you heaven or paradise, but God has given you good works to do, and you should do them. The Lord has placed you into his kingdom. You are his servant. He gives you stuff to manage. It's all his, but you are called upon to manage it, and you should. You should do it to the best of your ability. God loves you, and so he gives you a place in his kingdom, and you find things to do according to your freedom because he loves you and you love him. And that's going to be different for each of us. And that changes at different stages of life. And don't think, well, I would do more if I was younger, or, you know, I'm too old, or I'm not old enough. Nope. You serve God where he has placed you here and now, and don't worry about, well, you wish you could do more, or be like that person or that person. No, you serve where God has placed you here and now. Let no one judge you in what God has given you, and so also judge no one else. And the same is true of your suffering. God gives you suffering that is unique to you. Everyone suffers, and your Father knows what is best. He intervenes in your life for your good, and often in ways that conflict with what you think you want. But God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He sends crosses into our lives for our good. For our good. Now, that doesn't mean we can't pray for relief from them. We would not rightly choose them for ourselves, but we trust God. Even though you've put crosses into my life that I don't like, I will trust that they are for my good, and I will believe you, because I'm a child and you are my Father. I am a sheep and you are my shepherd, and you know what is best. We submit to God and to his will because we believe that he loves us and that we are loved and that we are forgiven. And we wait for the time when all those things will be revealed. And there again, sometimes it's tempting to be jealous of others. We see what other people have or don't have, and we think, well, I'd be a much happier person if my life was like theirs. We see people who we think have it easy, and we like, well, yeah, my life would be good if it was as easy as theirs. You don't know what that other person is going through. You don't know what things they struggle with. You don't know what's going on in their heart and their mind. They might appear to you to have everything, but you can't see what's going on inside of them. So don't judge your neighbors or your brothers or your sisters. Your life, your Lord designs a cross that is unique to your life. And none of us is spared or has it easier than others. Everyone's life is hard. In all of this, we look back to the tax collector. He found mercy from God, not because he deserved it, not because he tried hard or he'd suffered enough or because it was his turn, but because God is merciful. And God sent his son to ransom his creation back from the devil. And so if you want to boast about something, boast about the Lord. You haven't amassed riches or done great things or have great honors. Maybe you're unknown outside your own family. Maybe people find you average or maybe even dull. Don't worry about it. Boast in the Lord. You are forgiven. And what if you haven't done great things for the kingdom of God? Maybe you haven't converted scores of people, and maybe your house is a mess. Fear not. Boast in the Lord. You are forgiven. You are one of God's chosen, not because of what you have done, but because of what he has done for you in Christ. You need not fame or fortune. You go home forgiven, and that is what matters, because Jesus loves you. You are not insignificant in the kingdom of God. He claims you as his own. You are the cause of angelic rejoicing. And then just to drive that point home even further, Jesus says, let the children come to me. The disciples are like, yeah, Jesus doesn't have time for children. They're noisy. They get in his way. And Jesus is like, no, that's not how it goes. Jesus says, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Lord, grant us to be children. Grant us to receive and help us to believe what you say about us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.